On the road to self-realization. Adi and Bala were traveling together on foot from their ashram to a distant temple. They were from the same village originally and had been raised by religious families. When they were ready, they each took up residence in the home of a guru and received training as brahmanas, priests. Each advanced in his respective spiritual education. They observed vows of celibacy and always adhered to the Vedic injunctions. They studied the Vedas and Vedic culture. Adi came to the ashram when he was still a young boy, and Bala arrived when he was a little older. Over the years, they spent much of their time together. It was found that they were able to work cooperatively and that by studying in each other's company, they had become quite learned. So it was that one day, a message was received by their guru that a temple located a few days away was in need of help. Adi and Bala were chosen to make the journey and give the needed assistance. The next morning, they began their trek. Each young man carried a few essentials, a change of cloth, a pot, and of course, a string of beads for keeping track of the recitation of mantras. As the sun rose, the two associates took permission from their guru and began to walk towards their distant destination. The two monks were wrapped in saffron shawls. As they walked, they quietly murmured the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra while fingering their beads. The chill of dawn, having worn off, Adi and Bala stopped at a well to drink. The morning air was as clear and refreshing as the water they drank. They recalled that Krishna describes himself in the Bhagavad Gita as the taste of water and as the radiant sun. Both were pleased to have the opportunity of performing the austerity of taking the trip and felt privileged to be able to offer their services to the temple that was to be their destination. Children played by the side of the pathway as it led through farming villages. Both Adi and Bala spoke of their own childhood activities. They also occasionally had words with the little villagers who sometimes surrounded them or blocked their way. The children asked questions of the saintly young men. Undoubtedly pleased by being approached with inquiries, the two youthful priests smiled and addressed all of the queries. They also told the inquisitive children a few short stories, much to their mutual delight. By afternoon, the peaceful pair entered a dark forest, which was the residence of various wild animals. But simply by taking shelter of chanting Hare Krishna, they were freed from any trace of anxiety. In fact, they both felt as safe as children, guided by the hand of their loving father. Adi commented that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he is the seed-giving father of all living entities. With several days of walking ahead of them, they bathed, then settled under a tree by the bank of a river for the evening. Having gathered some fruits and roots while in the forest, an offering to the Supreme Lord was made. Peacefully sat the two travelers as the sun began to set. The environment was so pure, with the sound of the river's waters moving along its banks, and the soothing breeze rustling through the leaves of the branches of the trees. The plan to rise early, take bath, and meditate before resuming the pilgrimage was made. And so, as the moon appeared in the clear night sky, its beams filtered through the treetops, Adi and Bala considered themselves to be very fortunate indeed. They had each other's transcendental association. The climate was favorable, and the food they had found and offered was most palatable and satisfying to their hearts. And the atmosphere was calming to their minds. Soon, they both drifted into sound, dreamless sleep. Pre-dawn was announced by the unpretentious calling of the bird's song. A single warble met with a counter-call, and soon the tree under which Adi and Bala stopped and all the surrounding trees were filled with nature's own melodious operetta. Both of the young brahmanas accepted these signals as the beginning of a new day. A day filled with opportunities to remember Krishna. They promptly attended to their ablutions, then sat firmly chanting mantras with full attention. The light of early morning afforded them the needed illumination to study the scriptures. Then they neatly tied their few possessions into individual bundles and began to prepare for another day, to be spent in making steady progress towards their goal and the distant temple, and the goal of realizing themselves. For a time, they walked along the bank of the river, seeking an appropriate crossing. Before an hour had passed, they arrived at a section of the river where a few rocks and adjacent shallows presented a relatively easy path to the other side. But beyond nature's immediate barriers, there was another natural obstacle. The young monks were greeted at the passage by a woman. The woman was apparently awaiting someone's arrival. It came as quite an astonishment to Adi and Bala to discover that the woman was actually waiting for them. She was stranded in that she felt incapable of fording the river on her own. She meekly asked the pair if they would be willing to carry her safely to the opposite bank. Being initially speechless in response to the woman's request, each pondered the situation according to his learning, as well as carefully considering the time, place, and circumstances. Adi stated that he would not agree to such a proposal, and that he was duty-bound to go on his way to meet with other obligations. Bala's view of the matter fell into a different category, so he gently lifted the woman up onto his back and, as efficiently as he could manage, made his way across the river to the other side. There, he promptly placed his passenger on the ground, nodded farewell, and took his place beside his companion and left the scene. Adi and Bala walked on through the remainder of the morning in silence. There was a mood of separation between them, although they were proceeding along their way, literally elbow to elbow. The travelers' shadows gradually became shorter and shorter until it was clearly midday. The time came to take a short rest and chant their noon prayers. A quiet, shady spot was found, and after taking a little water, both sat in meditation for a few minutes. After renewing themselves with the rejuvenation of thinking of their eternal relationships with the universal overseer, God, Krishna, and by sipping the gift of God, pure water, there they sat, both experiencing an unusual sense of isolation. Bala broke the silence by beginning to chant for deliverance, and there and then he felt free from any tension. He turned his face to his fellow student, and a mild smile appeared on his face. With this expression of personal receptivity was met Adi's immediately bursting out in a tone of disturbance. He stated his mind. How could you carry that woman across the river this morning? At this point, Bala grinned knowingly. He looked his associate square in the eyes and spoke with calm assurance. My dear friend, he said, I carried that woman for just a few moments in order to provide service only. But you, O learned one, have been carrying her ever since. Adi's jaw dropped open. His eyes no longer held any challenge for his well-wisher, and soon his gaze fell deep within himself. A few moments later, Adi bowed down his head and asked Bala to forgive him. The two godbrothers then returned to the path with fixed determination and an increased bond of strength between them. Their goal still afar, they resumed their march, each appreciating the caring association that they had with each other. As they walked, they felt certain that they would meet with further realizations about their own eternal personalities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.